today on Real Radio.
Whatever your life is, nation, whatever, California, county, look to God. Church, look to God. There's no other answer. There's no other directive that's going to work.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What is Real, What is Relevant, Part 3, continues now in a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. We're so glad you joined us today. You know, as we head towards the end of Isaiah, we've seen the hand of God over everything that's happened in both Isaiah's time and in the time when Jesus was here on earth in bodily form. But what becomes even more clear is God's unrelenting love for us. He not only gave his Son as a sacrifice for our sins, but he gave us the hope of Christ's return, when he'll rule and reign and bring his form of justice to the world. In part 2 of Isaiah chapter 59, we saw how Christianity is built on God's promises. He kept his promises to Israel, and he's going to keep his promises to us. God is real, and his mercy is what's relevant in our lives. A time will come when the world will be deceived by the Antichrist through a false sense of peace and prosperity. That's why the time is right now to put your trust in the Lord. So today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that if our sins have not been dealt with, guilt and shame will soon take over. It feels like there's a finger pointing at us, but there's no need to run. Our sins can be radically forgiven. We just need to look to God, whose only requirement is for us to turn around and come back to Him. And now continuing his lesson called What is Real, What is Relevant, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And let me tell you from somebody who lived under shame and guilt for my sin. Sins. When I say sin, I mean sins. Doesn't matter how you look, doesn't matter where you're at, doesn't matter the money you make, doesn't matter the job you have, it doesn't matter the house you have. Inside, where sin has not been dealt with, if your sin has not been taken to Jesus for him to wash you of it, there's this like a finger's pointing at you. You know, in some ways people would say, you know, what are you paranoid about? Hey, and you jump. A friend of mine was in Bogota, Colombia, at a Starbucks. He's a missionary there. He had a friend visiting from the States. They're sitting there. And the missionary looked and he saw the police coming in trucks. And he told his friend sitting next to him, the guy here from the States visiting, he said, listen to me now. Don't move. No matter what happens, don't move. These police trucks pulled up. Guys jumped out with masked faces and machine guns. And they stood in front of the Starbucks like this. And they looked and nobody moved. And they got in the trucks and they drove away. He said, what in the world was that? He said, that's how they find people who are guilty. The people who are guilty run. You may feel like you're running. Feel like it's ever something's pointing at you all the time. That is the Holy Spirit saying, you should not live with this on you. Repent of it. Get away from this stuff. I can wash it away from you, whatever it might be. If God can forgive me, he can forgive you. No more running. You don't have to be guilty anymore. The Bible says in Numbers 32:23, regarding that neon sign pointing on you, be sure of this, your sin will find you out. Wow. Well, I think I got away with it. No, you didn't. You just haven't been caught yet. And if you think you can escape the justice of earth, and you can, you know, you'll never escape the justice of God. But Christ. But Christ. Through Jesus, you can be radically forgiven. Verse 13, in trespassing and lying against the Lord. These are the sins now. Transgressing going across the line, trespass, transgress, go across the line, lying against the Lord, departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Verse 14, justice is turned back. Isaiah's announcing how there's no hope anywhere because of the sins of the nation. And righteousness stands afar off, for truth has fallen. The word means that it's wounded. The word means that truth is laying in the street, it's bleeding. It's fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So, verse 15, truth fails. And he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. That is interesting. It's that he who departs from evil or repents makes himself a prey. It means a target for persecution. And that is a fact. That is true. And then he goes on thirdly, and we'll end on this final one. It's verses 15 to 21. And I think what I need to say as I go into this point, because I did see some young kids in here, we're about to show something in a moment. I'll give you a fair warning, Mom and Dad. It's not graphic. It's a courtroom situation, but the description may be too graphic for a little one. And normally little ones are not in here on a night like this, but I just want to give you a fair warning. Again, nothing graphic, but the conversation is from a doctor, and it's sad, to say the least. The third thing that we install here right now is that we need to look to him. We need to look to God. And remember, Isaiah's speaking to a nation. And as we're in here tonight with our Bible study, so let's do this, everyone. Let's take it for what it's worth and what God the Holy Spirit, who's alive and well and here right now, would have it to be. Isaiah's not here. Okay. So allow me to pretend in a way. I'm the prophet tonight speaking to you from the Word of God, okay? In the 21st century to this church, here and now, just here. So I would say with Isaiah, look to God. Whatever your life is, nation, whatever, California, county, look to God. Church, look to God. There's no other answer. There's no other directive that's gonna work. That will ring true to people, or it will not. There will be those, perhaps even in this gathering tonight, that will say, no, you're not gonna tell me what to do. That never changes. That's the human heart. There will be somebody that will think and say, that makes sense. I need to turn to God. The nation certainly needs to turn to God. But I want to say it this way. Only those in the nation who are of God need to turn to God. When we do that as a people, if our Christian culture repents of its idolatry, of its materialism, of its secret carnal altars, in our sex-crazed world that you and I live in, and the redefining of institutions and words, if we sat down for a moment and let the brilliant light of God's word shine upon us, do you understand that not one of us could stand before God? And he's not asking you to stand before him, because only one could have stood before him, and he did it on the cross, and it was Jesus. Amen. What he requires of his people, of us, is to say, Lord, I cannot stand. I have seen who I am and what I am, and that I'm the one responsible for your death at the cross. Do you understand? I have no authority or business, nor do I care to point out your sin. It is not my job, and I'm glad it's not. It's the job of one. He's called the Holy Spirit. Once he points that out to you, I'm supposed to give you the word to get you up and going, okay? Like a lifeline. The decision is yours. But I can only point to him and say, look to him. You have to decide what to do on that. And so verse 15, it says, then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, that there was no justice. Are you guys all awake right now? America, the world looks to the United States for justice. But those of us who realize how far we have fallen as a nation, do you honestly expect justice from our nation anymore? It depends on how much money you have, or it depends on what cultural persuasion you might be from, or what connections you might have, or it's, look, we just saw this perfectly revealing, justifiably condemning act of our nation and our nation's leaders. I believe, and you can hate me for it, I don't care. But we watched what is proven to be a stellar human being. I believe God used him to expose the absolute disgust and depravity of this godless nation with Judge Kavanaugh. The man was found by 7 forensic FBI investigations, which none of us in this room would survive. Not a one in this room, starting with me. This guy is such a just freak that from the age of 14, he documented every day of his life in a book. Who does this? The guy he is a staunch pro-life defender and a genius of a judge, and that could not be tolerated in America. You cannot have a pro-life court. Why? Because Satan knows God will start blessing America again. He can't have that. The truth is never updated. The truth is never reconfigured. Beware when people say, well, we now know. If you ever hear that, students in college, listen up, because you get that a lot. Well, yes, I understand traditionally that's how it was, but we now know that, and it's going to be a lie. But I read it on, is it Snoops or Snopes? Snops. What is it called? What? Snopes? Have you seen now how many times they've been busted for lying? Well, I Googled it. No, listen. You want justice in America? The words of Lindsey Graham will go down in history forever. He turned and said, if you came to this town of Washington, D.C. looking for truth and for a fair trial, you come to the wrong town at the wrong time. That's a great statement, and it's true. Nobody wants to hear it. Listen, this is why, if God decided to bring America down to its knees in a minute, I want you to know that he's justified. Do you know that? But listen to I want you to catch the hope. Up front, you're going to have somebody mouthing off about the sacraments of Planned Parenthood. And then you're going to hear from a Planned Parenthood employee. Did I say plant? Planned Parenthood. Put your eyes to the screen.
This investigation of Planned Parenthood is based on false premises, one after another after another. It's time to stop wasting time, get on with meaningful work, and stop picking on women and trying to take their choice away. I yield back the balance of my time.
The time of the gentleman has expired. We welcome our distinguished witnesses today. Do you and each of you swear that the testimony that you are about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And I'll now begin by introducing today's witnesses. The first witness is Dr. Anthony Levitino. Dr. Levitino is a board-certified obstetrician gynecologist. Over the course of his career, Dr. Levitino has practiced obstetrics and gynecology in both private and university settings, including as an associate professor of OBGYN at the Albany Medical College. And Dr. Levitino, we'll begin with you. Welcome.
Thank you, Chairman and members of the committee. I only have 5 minutes, so I'm going to get right to it. Second trimester D&E abortions performed between roughly 14 and 24 weeks of gestation. Your patient today is 17 years old. She's 22 weeks pregnant. Her baby is the length of your hand plus a couple of inches. And she's been feeling her baby kick for the last several weeks. But she's asleep on an operating room table. You walk into that operating room scrubbed and gowned, and after removing laminaria, and you have a day like I had a lot of times, sometimes a little face comes back and stares back at you. Congratulations, you just successfully performed a second trimester DNE abortion. You just affirmed her right to choose.
One more question, Dr. Levitino. Why did you end your practice of doing abortions?
I did over 1,200 abortions over a four-year period in private practice, not counting the ones that I did during my training. I met my wife during my first year of training at Albany Medical Center. We got married about a year later and found that we had an infertility problem. After years of failed infertility treatment and several years trying to adopt a child, we were blessed with adopting a little girl that we named Heather in August of 1978. As sometimes happens in those situations, my wife got pregnant the very next month, and we had two children 10 months apart. 2 months short of my daughter Heather's sixth birthday, she was killed in an auto accident and literally died in her arms in the back of an ambulance. Anyone who has children might think they have some idea of what that feels like, but unless you've been through it yourself, you have no idea whatsoever. I know people find it hard to believe, but what do you do after a disaster? You bury your child and then you go back to your life. And I don't remember exactly how long it was after my daughter died that I showed up at Albany Medical Center OR number 9 to perform my first second trimester DNE abortion. And I know it sounds, as I said, hard for people to believe, but I'm telling you straight up my experience. You know, after over 1,200 abortions, first and second trimester up to 24 weeks and all the rest of it, and being very dedicated to it, for the first time in my life, I really looked. And I didn't see her wonderful right to choose, and I didn't see all the money I just made. All I could see was somebody's son or daughter. And I stopped doing late-term abortions after that, and several months later stopped doing all abortions.
Thank you.
Well, so the Lord says in verse 16, in light of that, therefore his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Isaiah's describing God. Now watch. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. Verse 19, so shall the fear of the name of the Lord be from the west, and from his glory from the rising of the sun, that's the east. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. The Redeemer will come to Zion, that's Jesus, and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. This is with you, this is with us. My Spirit, who is upon you, and my words, which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, for this time and forevermore. So God is saying to the nation of Israel, who had the greatest revelation of wisdom and light that any people had ever had in the history of man, they turned their back on God, and God held them responsible for walking out on such light, okay? It's normal. This is normal thinking. This is true about anything else in life. Then comes a second people group known as the church, and God has given us great light. And in those nations like Israel and the Jew and the Israelites, and in this nation, the church and Americans, they're so intertwined that you cannot separate. God says, I'll leave this for the day of judgment in the end. Though you and I be citizens of heaven, we are responsible for the conduct of our nation. You say, Jack, how can you dare say that? It's easy. It's very simple. Because we're the intercessors. We're the priests. We're the representatives of God's light. How did Dr. Levitino do all these things because it became the law. He didn't care about the law. I'm sure he just cared. Someone's going to do it. Who's going to make all this money? I'll do it. Until what happened to him? Until it got personal. See, here's the key. This nation of ours is doomed unless you make it personal. Look, let's be honest. Your family's doomed unless you make it personal. Right? If I don't love my family, it's not personal. They're not personal to me. If I don't love them, I'll just use them. What about relationships? If they're not personal, then I'll just use you. What about my state or my nation? If it's not personal, then I'm just going to use everything I can to better me. Right? It's all for me. It's my choice. You die so I can live. You be in poverty so I can have wealth. You be unsafe so I can be safe. That's the humanistic, existential hedonism of our nation today. And so when we decide to put the attributes of God before us, and we begin to love and to repent and to care, you saw this man have a change. He went from a mass murderer because it got personal. Isn't it ironic? He killed over 1,200 babies, but then he and his wife couldn't get pregnant. It got personal. You stand for him, and he will heal our land. Let's stand right now as we ask him to heal our land, okay? Father, first of all, Lord, I just come to you tonight and I want to be very, very sensitive because there may be, and Lord, you know what I mean by this, but there may be men and women here right now that are carrying under the burden of this abortion that haunts them. And when I say men, there are men in this room perhaps that told their girlfriend, go get an abortion. There may be husbands in here that said to their wives, go get an abortion. And there would be women in here also with that burden, horrific, impossible load to carry. And so, Lord, tonight that you'd bring healing to men and women alike. Healing, because Jesus, this is what you've promised us. You will forgive us of anything that we repent of. You would have forgiven Adam and Eve if they would have repented. So Lord, please do that tonight. My friend, right where you're at tonight, please understand this. And if you're watching right now, if you're listening, wherever you might be, if this turns out to be coming to you by a radio broadcast, if this is played some months or some years later from tonight, just know this. There is nowhere for you to go that is beyond the reach of God's forgiving grace.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, What is Real, What is Relevant, Part 3. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. You know, God is quick to forgive. So don't waste any more time on things that are meaningless in the end. But come to Jesus today. What is Real? What is Relevant? Part 3 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.